Are you ready to create a life of balance, abundance, and joy? To live from a place of right intention and right alignment in all that you do? Then tune in right now to Living on Purpose with your host, Carolyn Romano. Living on Purpose is about standing in the center of your life so that no matter what's happening around you, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways you're meant to serve and grow while staying open to experiencing life fully. Living on Purpose is a time for us to come together to remember our divine selves while we learn and wonder about, weigh and consider, and unpack and repack the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life.
Welcome to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano. I'm Carolyn Romano, your host, and I'm delighted to be here with you tonight. You are listening to a Dream Vision 7 Radio Network live broadcast at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. To learn more and for a full station schedule that includes our affiliate show times, go to dreamvision7radio.com. Listeners, our topic tonight is finding your tribe. Looking forward to unpacking that with all of you listeners either tonight on the live show or Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. or 2 a.m. Eastern Standard Time when this show will be re-aired on dreamvision7radio.com. Past shows are downloadable at the Dream Vision 7 archive and on iTunes. I invite you to like my Facebook page, Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, and you can contact me via email at carolyn@blisshealingarts.com or via my website, blisshealingarts.com. The Dream Vision 7 Network has over 1.3 million listeners in more than 135 countries. We've got lots of great shows with new hosts joining all the time. So I invite you to go to the website, take a look around, have a listen to some of our other great radio show hosts and teachers. Our last show was called North and South Shields, Balancing Our Spiritual and Human Selves. The North represents our spiritual side, represents ancient wisdom. It's the place of the grandmothers, the keepers of the stories. Whereas the South represents sort of the physical part of our being, our humanness. And so we talked a lot about how we bring those two things into balance. And not just a balance where, you know, you've arrived at some point where, you know, the scale is even on both sides, but more this understanding that what balance really requires is a constant readjustment. When you think of yourself trying to stand on one foot, what does that actually require of the rest of your body? It's moving around and, you know, having your muscles readjust and, you know, repositioning. And it's that notion of readjustment and coming from the center so that no matter what's happening around you, as we say in the intro, you can respond from a place of peace and strength. The other thing we looked at in depth was, in that particular show last month, was what we need in our environments to thrive. I've been doing a lot of thinking about that, and so I go into some more depth there. But tonight, our topic, again, is finding your tribe. Now, what does it mean if you are experiencing the absence of a tribe? Well, there really is some interesting research out there, and Lisa Rankin, teacher and author and medical doctor, talks about the fact that loneliness is actually a greater risk to your health than smoking or lack of exercise. That's a pretty powerful statement. And she says that finding your tribe is better than any vitamin, diet, or exercise regimen. I think that's a really important notion and one that we really should internalize as we go into the holidays and New Year's and all of the resolutions that come around sort of improving our health, right? I'm going to get fit. I'm going to go on a diet. I'm going to lose weight so I can be healthier. And a lot of times we focus exclusively on those kinds of things rather than also saying, you know what? What else is going on with my life? Do I feel connected to a tribe? How lonely am I? And what can I do in the new year to maybe correct some of that? So what actually is a tribe? Pretty interesting as I was looking at the different ways tribe gets kind of defined out there. There actually was published this year a book called Tribe with a subtitle of On Homecoming and Belonging. So it was published earlier in 2016. It's by Sebastian, I want to say Younger. It's spelled J-U-N-G-E-R, in case anyone's interested in looking that up. And this book is, it's pretty interesting. It actually explores the things that we can all learn from tribal societies about things like loyalty and belonging and this eternal quest that we humans have for meaning, right? We're always trying to figure out what's the meaning of life. I actually had a conversation this morning with a 10-year-old about the purpose of life, which was pretty engaging. And, you know, this notion of tribe and this strong instinct that we all have to belong to a group that's defined by a clear purpose and understanding. What Sebastian says in the book, in the intro, is, quote, humans don't mind hardship. In fact, they thrive on it. What they mind is not feeling necessary. Modern society has perfected the art of making people feel not necessary. It's time for that to end. And we talked a little bit about that notion on our last show. The Dalai Lama agrees with the author, and he explored that a little bit in a November 4th New York Times op-ed piece, where he basically said people really need to feel needed. In the absence of feeling needed, the Dalai Lama was purporting, is why there's so much pain and indignation sweeping through prosperous countries. What he said in that op-ed piece was that, quote, feeling superfluous is a blow to the human spirit. It leads to social isolation and emotional pain and creates the conditions for negative emotions to take root. Interesting to think about that, given where we are in the United States right now as a society and the tribes that are kind of being defined right now and how we're all trying to make sense of the times that we're in and how much of this really is rooted in this notion of people for a long time not really feeling necessary, not really being connected in with their purpose. Now, he does, of course, offer a solution to this, and that is this daily practice of remembering that everything has something valuable to share. I like the fact that he kind of frames this as remembering that other has something valuable to share. He doesn't just say remembering that you have something valuable to share. And then, you know, asking yourself, what can I do today to appreciate the gifts that others offer me? Again, it's not this, what gifts do I have to offer the world, although that's part and parcel of what he's saying, but it's also really remembering to, you know, project yourself into, you know, every face that I see today, every person that I interact with, what can I do to appreciate the gifts that they offer? It reminds me of the painted face card in Jamie Sam's Native American Sacred Path card deck. That card is very much about sort of individual expression, about identifying your personal medicine and kind of painting that on your face. But it really only becomes valuable as it gets reflected back to you in the faces of members of your tribe. You paint your face so that others around you can see and say, oh, okay, there's Carolyn, and I go to Carolyn for her personal medicine, which is XYZ, but I go to Becky for her personal medicine, and I go to Carol for her personal medicine. So it's figuring out personal medicine so that you can be of service to those around you. And that sharing your medicine with your tribe is what's key. Another notion of tribe that I kind of like and really resonate with is being with the people who love and accept you for who you are. Being with the people who love and accept you for who you are. So that really speaks to this notion of belonging, right? Most of us have heard or even studied Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And if you look at that, it's kind of a pyramid that starts on the bottom with the needs that people have and the order in which they need to be satisfied in order for you to kind of move up to the point of the pyramid. And Maslow has it where getting your physiological needs met is the first thing you need to do before you can get your safety needs met, before you can then get your belonging needs met, before you can then get your self-esteem needs met, before you can then get, you know, the pinnacle, which is your self-actualization needs met. Now, this is decades ago now, but Norman Kunk, who's a disability activist and teacher, kind of turned that model of Maslow's hierarchy of needs on its side by saying that belonging is actually the foundation, the most important need that we have. And until belonging needs are met, you don't care about your physiological needs being met or your safety needs being met or your self-esteem needs being met. And it's an interesting thing for us to think about because so many of us move around in the world looking for belonging, looking to be with the people who love and accept us for who we are. And so I put that forward for your consideration. You know, where are you sort of on the continuum of feeling like you have a tribe, of feeling like you belong, and what does that look like? Now, of course, when we think about belonging to the greater tribe, right, belonging to the universe, to the planet, the great mother, sort of knowing that we're all one, we're all really connected, is something that I think at this moment in time also requires some examination. That we're all more alike than different, that each of us is born with a spark of the divine in us, and that any separation that we perceive, any separation from one another, is really just an illusion. And it's a story of the ego that's projected onto those around us. Now, it could be because we're trying to protect ourselves that we kind of perceive this separation. It could be because of old stories that we tell ourselves about who we are and what we deserve. It could be because we are afraid to be vulnerable, afraid to see who will and won't accept us for who we are. A lot of times we contribute to not finding our tribe by not actually being our authentic selves out in the world. I think this happens a lot in the dating scene, too, and in trying to find right relationship, that a lot of times, granted, we may call this putting our best foot forward, but I think it's really important that we see the ways in which we're not maybe being our most authentic self and how that impacts who is or isn't accepting us. So I offer that for your consideration, too. A lot of what I think that gets attributed to, like where we're not really being our authentic selves, is because we feel some kind of pressure to be perfect, or we think that people want us to be a certain way, and we're trying to sort of guess at that and be who we think somebody wants us to be so that they'll want us and then we'll belong. So again, it's really seeking that connection, that belonging, that tribe. I think, too, about people coming together around a common purpose and what actually has been accomplished by the water protectors who are out at Standing Rock, and the fact that representatives from dozens and dozens of tribes, thousands of people, around the country, around the world, have shown up at Standing Rock to be part of the Water Protectors movement. Thousands of people have donated to their cause to help them be able to be there. In the last week or so, thousands of veterans showed up to take a stand. The power that is available when people come together to work for a common purpose is really awesome in the notion of the word awe. It inspires awe in me when I think of what people have been willing to do to protect Mini, the sacred water of life. Tom Cowan, who wrote a book called Shamanism in Everyday Life, talks about the ways that people are just trying to create understanding of what life means for them. And he says that that's the reason that a lot of us actually embark on a spiritual practice. You know, it's to seek the meaning in our own life and how that's connected in with the mysteries of the universe. And what I think is so compelling about some of what he writes about is this idea that when we place ourselves within the mysteries of the universe, that we have to be prepared to have three things: great faith, great doubt, and great determination. And he says, quote, any spiritual practice involves all three because the practitioner is searching through the darkness of life, looking for the light that leads to our true home, and oftentimes our tribe. I had a session with a client this week who is really moving forward in service as a healer. And we were talking about how sometimes when you're trying to do healing work and serve in that way, you're called to do things that you're not really sure why you're doing them in the session itself. And it really requires a great deal of trust on the part of the practitioner that you've come to the session with a pure intention, that you're committed to operating with integrity, that you are looking to be that hollow bone for spirit to move through. And one of the things that we touched upon was this notion that the more you move forward, the more energy moves through you, the more that doubt actually can kind of creep in. You know, you have the great faith and then the great doubt, like, am I making this up? What am I doing here? You know, is this okay? And, you know, the questioning comes in. And I personally think that's actually part of the evolution of doing healing work, that does kind of happen, and it gives you an opportunity again and again and again and sometimes again to say, no, I trust this. I believe in this. I have that great faith. And I have that great determination to keep moving, to get out of the way, to not let my ego start to, you know, make me question my presence here and my commitment to spirit. And she actually likened it to when she first started her meditation practice and the many, many times where thoughts would come in and thoughts would come in and thoughts would come in, and how you then have to bring yourself back. So I thought that was a really interesting exchange this week that made me think about the tribe of healers and the work that we're out there trying to do. So back to Tom Cowan in his book, Shamanism in Everyday Life. He talks, too, about how shamanic practitioners and really every one of us as we're working and searching have the support of the universe, the cosmos, that all things that are created are alive, they have consciousness, they want to communicate. Quote, the Creator has endowed all creatures with wisdom and joy, and they are eager to share with us their ways of being in the world. In time, we learn to recognize them as our companions. And that, to me, seems very much connected in with this notion of tribe as well, that everything out there, in one way, is part of a tribe that we are interconnected with and that we can rely on for support. He closes his book, actually, so spoiler alert here, with this old Celtic prayer that blesses someone leaving on a journey. And it is this: you are the pure love of the clouds. You are the pure love of the skies. You are the pure love of the stars. You are the pure love of the moon. You are the pure love of the sun. You are the pure love of the heavens. You are the pure love of each living creature. You are the pure love of the Creator of all life. Surely these are great companions to accompany us on our journey. End quote. So that was from Tom Cowan's book, Shamanism in Everyday Life. So we are bumping up against our first break. When we come back, we're going to look at some steps that we can take to actually go about finding our tribe if people are trying to connect. We'll also look at peer spirit circles and how to get one of those started as well. So I hope you'll stay tuned. In the meantime, I will let Brad take us to break. I'll talk to you in a few.
Living your values, looking for companions on the path. With wisdom, humor, and compassion, artist Sarah Jepson Zitter answers many of the questions we have about living a spiritually grounded life. Check out her stunning graphic novels and designs on cards, mugs, and other cool gifts at gnomestedding.com. That's gnomestedding.com. Or call Sarah at 978-897-6239 for more information.
Donna Schatz is a licensed acupuncturist located in the Porter Square, Cambridge area of Somerville. With over 25 years of experience, Donna combines massage, acupuncture, and Reiki in her work while focusing on each client's individual needs. Contact Donna at 617-776-3065 or visit www.donnaschatz.com. That's 617-776-3065 or donnaschatz.com.
Since 2004, Old Dog Haven in Washington State has been providing loving, safe homes for senior dogs ages 8 and up who've been abandoned or are homeless at this time in their lives. Wonderful foster families take these old dogs into their homes, making their golden years happy years. For more information or to make a tax-deductible contribution, visit olddoghaven.org. Old Dog Haven, providing hope, love, and comfort for senior dogs.
Take a journey to a place of the divine love within with Deborah Beauvais on the Love by Intuition show every first and third Sunday, 9 to 10 p.m. Our message is love in the purest form. The light within us all is a guide to recall our beginning, to learn to love self and humankind, to feel the higher power of our own divinity. To attract love, one needs to be love. Every first and third Sunday from 9 to 10 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Life. We can either be bystanders or creators. Now is the time to awaken to your divine identity and the power of the I Am within to create a joyous and fulfilled life, no matter what your circumstances are. There are answers to life's big questions, and there is a spiritual path that leads to soul liberation and ascension. Join us every third Sunday of the month at 6 p.m. Eastern Time for Prophets for the New Age with Carl and Nancy Showalter on Dream Vision 7 Radio Network.
Join Dr. Bernie Siegel on Mind Health Matters every first Sunday at 8 p.m., all part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Bernie will draw from his inspirational personal journey, offering us special nuggets of his sacred wisdom. Listen in as Bernie reminds us to be fully engaged in life.
Ask Dr. Love is now on the Dream Vision 7 radio network every second and fourth Sunday at 9 p.m. Eastern Time. Dr. Jamie Turndorf, a.k.a. Ask Dr. Love, is a psychotherapist, author, love and relationship expert who offers advice and answers to your relationship questions. Hear about Dr. Love's groundbreaking new Dialoguing with the Departed technique that enables you to reconnect and make peace with a loved one. This show is for you, the listener, and Dr. Love wants to hear from you. Call 866-338-9663 or 617-237-1234.
Join us every first Sunday of the month at 7 p.m. for Heart Living with Dr. Cynthia Bischoff, where you'll discover life wisdom and achieve greater spiritual awareness. Through Cynthia's coaching tips, healing stories, and inspirational interviews, you'll improve your relationships, find greater balance, and achieve inner peace today. Join thousands who've transformed their lives through Heart Living. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, our topic tonight is finding your tribe. And before the break, I promised that we would look at various steps to actually do that. So the first thing that I think is really important when you're trying to find your tribe is that you need to be willing to be vulnerable. If you need some help around that, I recommend a great TED Talk by Brené Brown, who's kind of the mother of vulnerability. And this notion of willingness to really be who you are and to let others see who that is really key to finding your tribe, finding the folks who resonate with you and who see you and accept you for who you are. Sometimes we are not willing to be vulnerable because maybe of things that have happened to us where, you know, we've been vulnerable and the consequences of that have not been positive. So it might require some work or some renewed commitment to that, but really being willing to be vulnerable is key to finding your tribe. The next thing that I recommend is to consider the stories that you tell about who you are and what you deserve, and write some new stories. I talk about this a lot in these shows because a lot of us think that, you know, we are our past, and we really are not. I mean, I think in ways our past certainly informs who we are today, but it doesn't rule everything. We can really write a new story. Who do you say that you are? Claim that. You know, who are you becoming? And when you feel those old stories sort of creep in, then just, you know, put up a big old red stop sign and, you know, tell yourself, cut it out. We're not doing that anymore. This is what we're up to. We're finding our tribe. Okay, so The third thing I wanted to recommend to folks is to really set a clear intention. We bring to us, we attract to us what we focus our thoughts on. So it really behooves us to decide how we want to frame this tribe finding that we're doing. So that combined with speaking it out loud, give it a vibration. I am part of a tribe where people come together to work for this cause, or where we all accept each other and encourage each other to grow. My tribe looks like this. This is how I contribute to my tribe. Here's my painted face. Here's my personal medicine that I offer to the tribe. So really setting that clear intention of people showing up for you and you showing up for them. The next thing is about judgment. Really looking at how often we judge others. There's a funny sort of satirical video. I can't think of the guy's name, but he's all over Facebook where he talks about being more spiritual than other people around him. This is this very comical way and ironic way. So looking at the way that we judge other people, we're doing it all the time. And instead, really trying to see the soul within another person and to see, as we said at the top of the hour, the gifts that other people have to offer us. The other thing, under that heading of not judging others is being really careful around projection. A lot of times we're ready to be insulted. We're ready to feel slighted. Look at what they've done to us. How could they say that to me? Or we'll be reading tone. I do this sometimes, and I'm trying to be more aware of it. We read tone into an email where there really isn't any tone. And I may get myself, all ratcheted up and indignant over something that, is just imagined. It wasn't real. So really being careful around judgment and, the projection that we do. And a lot of times we project because we're afraid to be vulnerable, or we think we're going to get in trouble, or it's this like protective mechanism. So really committing to self-awareness around that piece is pretty important. I talked about manifesting, giving it that vibration. I think that's incredibly powerful. It's one of the things, that I've been doing around other goals that I have, like speaking them into existence in the present tense, right? I am part of a tribe where I am part of a tribe whose members are, that kind of thing. And then the final thing is about, taking action. What's that saying? God feeds the birds, but he doesn't drop the worms in the nest. So what do we need to do? What steps do we need to take? Do we need to start some kind of group ourselves? Do we need to strike up more conversations with people? And if that feels too overwhelming, then something as simple as, focusing on something that you're passionate about and finding a class or a meetup group or something where, you get to pursue your passion, and then seeing who shows up around it is another great action step. So being willing to be vulnerable, writing new stories about who you are, setting a clear intention, looking at how we judge others and maybe not doing that so much, speaking about it, manifesting it, giving it a vibration, and then taking action. Now, ironically, one of the indirect ways that we go about finding our tribe is by experiencing lots of people who are not a part of our tribe. And I think that process of elimination actually does bring us closer and closer and closer to finding our tribe. And I think the other thing it does is it helps us to be more open, I think, to people. And so why I'm saying that is because a lot of times when we experience people who really aren't part of our tribe, those kinds of experiences bring with it pain and opportunities for growth and opportunities to kind of conquer the shadow side of ourselves and really heal. And when that kind of healing is brought about, it often makes us so much more open or aware of the fact that other people have suffered and have their own shadow selves to kind of conquer. And so it just kind of creates an opening for more people to maybe qualify as part of your tribe. So that's where I'm going with that. But when you are around people that are clearly not part of your tribe, a great tip that shamanic practitioner Hank Wesselman recommends, and this comes from his book, Vision Seeker, Shared Wisdom from the Place of Refuge. He's written a lot of different books on his journey and how shamanic practices have really helped him understand sort of the world at sort of a bigger, sort of a more mystical level. And he talks about putting a protection around you, which I think is pretty important now given the times that we're living in where, you know, people seem to be getting assaulted, you know, verbally or physically. Right now, he just says, imagine yourself in a blue egg of protection to help you kind of energetically create a barrier, a layer around yourself that is less able to be penetrated. So this whole notion, I wasn't even sure what my topic for the show was going to be tonight. Deborah, the owner of the Dream Vision 7 radio network, was poking me about it very lovingly earlier in the week. And I was like, oh, I don't know, last week. What am I going to talk about? And this idea of finding your tribe popped into my head. And I was also then thinking about, well, what is my tribe? Like, who is in my tribe? Do I have more than one tribe? What does it mean for me to find my tribe? And it also makes me think about that in terms of this next phase of my life where I am sort of, I don't know if I'm reinventing myself, but I think I'm finding myself. And then I think from there, connecting in with, you know, what I'm most passionate about and then, you know, what tribe is going to show up as a result of that. So I'm going to be speaking more about that in our final segment of the show. I see we're bumping up against another break, so I'll let Brad take it from here, and I'll talk to y'all in a few.
Ever feel like you're getting in your own way? Want your life to flow effortlessly? Ready to step into the fullness of who you really are? Spiral Energies can help you transform your life and manifest your highest potential so you can live a deep, rich existence. Contact Janet Kesenick at spiralenergies.com or by calling 617-926-4155. That's spiralenergies.com, 617-926-4155. Begin your transformation today.
Harvard holistic psychiatrist and psychoanalyst Dr. Judy Tsafrir offers empowering astrology and tarot readings that provide insight and guidance regarding love, work, and higher purpose. For more information, call 617-965-3020 or visit bostonastrologer.com or bostontarot.com. Readings are available via phone, Skype, and in person in Newton Center, Massachusetts.
Maybe you have clear goals for your life but wish you were making more progress. Or perhaps you have no idea where you're headed, yet you still feel a sense of urgency to get there. Wherever you find yourself at this moment, consider how you will benefit from shamanic coaching with Carolyn Romano of Bliss Healing Arts in Massachusetts. This face-to-face approach works on achieving alignment on all four levels of your existence: mental, emotional, spiritual, and physical. Shamanic coaching combines traditional coaching methods with energy medicine, mind-body skill building, and shamanic techniques. The goal, to help people create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. Call Carolyn at 508-481-BLIS. That's 508-481-2547. Or visit blisshealingarts.com and get your bliss on.
Mark your calendars now to attend the Theosophical Society's 6th Annual Day of Healing and Insight on Saturday, January 14th, 2012, located at the TS on 21 Maple Street in Arlington, Massachusetts. Work with top intuitive and alternative healing professionals at a very reasonable rate. Each 25-minute session is just $20. Try energy work, intuitive readings, astrology, body work, and more. For more information and to register, visit tsboston.org. That's tsboston.org. All proceeds benefit the Theosophical Society.
What if everything that you've been taught about who you are and what life is has been untrue? Join Devra LaValle, host of Living in Quantum Love, where she'll explore and dissect the limiting beliefs and wrong understandings that have only served to keep us not only separate from one another, but from our own selves. Living in Quantum Love can be heard every third Sunday of the month at 8 p.m. Eastern on the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Join Devra and take a leap to freedom.
This is Dream Vision 7 radio network, uniting mankind with universal love. Our shows are created from the heart, bringing each listener to a place of divine enlightenment. Breathe, relax, and enjoy. Let life flow.
Join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. for Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, where we explore the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Let's figure out together the ways we're meant to serve and become the fullest expressions of our most authentic selves. Let's figure out together how to create lives of balance, abundance, and joy. This program is part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network.
Welcome back. You're listening to Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, a Dream Vision 7 radio live broadcast here at AM 1510 WMEX Boston. If you're just joining us, we are in our final segment of Finding Your Tribe. I was just reflecting during the break about sort of the way the show was progressing and the different ways that I've talked about finding your tribe. And, you know, when I opened the show, I talked about it in terms of, like, don't forget that we're all part of a greater tribe, that we're all one. And then I, you know, in the second segment, looked at tips for how, you know, actions you can take to specifically find your tribe. But when I do this, I in no way want to perpetuate any notion that of, you know, an us against a them. I think more what I would like to put forward and encourage and emphasize and hope for is that in the process of our finding our tribe, we realize how many people really do resonate with us and the challenges that we have and the ways we're trying to move through the world. And also that in finding a tribe and being belonging somewhere, really feeling that sense of belonging, we are then supported to do our best work in the world. So I see it really as just one more vehicle for healing, kind of a container so that we can feel held and supported to be the fullest expression of who we are. So I just wanted to put it out there because I know right now we're experiencing perceived separation in a lot of ways in the country, and I really want this to be seen as an exercise in belonging rather than division. Right before we went to break, I was talking about sort of what I think of in terms of my own tribe. I tend to really feel like I belong in a lot of different ways. I have a lot of wonderfully supportive friends and family and professional colleagues. At the same time, I do and often have felt a bit like an outsider, where I was watching everybody, kind of watching everybody else live their life. And so I'm really working on that old story that I would tell about my life and about who I am, and really grounding myself in the experience of this world, this plane, what my personal medicine is and how I bring that into the world. So when I really think about who I want to be and who I want around me, I think of tribe members who are leading through their own example and really being integral and, you know, personally responsible for walking their talk and for taking appropriate actions. And then the other piece of it, I think, for me is around a willingness to move beyond fear to take action. I think that's been a big struggle for me, or a pattern that I have repeated, where I feel like I know what I do and don't kind of want for my life, but then I don't always take the steps I need to take to affect change. So that's something that's really important to me, and to find sort of tribe members who also are, you know, both struggling and succeeding with that. And then finally, how do we kind of come together to balance our important work in the world with rest, relaxation, and retreat? And so those notions that I was just putting forward come from a book by Jamie Sams called The 13 Original Clan Mothers. And any of you who have listened to any of my shows over the last 5 years know that I am so connected to the work of Jamie Sams. Have done a show on pretty much every card, more than one show, on every card in her Native American Sacred Path card deck. And now I just stumble upon this other book, which I've had for a really long time, but it didn't really sink in until today that this book was written by Jamie Sams. So I might be moving in the direction of covering some of the teachings by the 13 Clan Mothers in future shows. But I just wanted to credit her for these, for being able to kind of encapsulate for me what I'm looking for in my tribe. And so in our remaining time, I wanted to let folks know about a great resource called Peer Spirit Circling. And that's actually the title, A Guide to Peer Spirit Circling. I have it here. I'm looking at it now. With the subtitle of Building Communities of Reflection, Adventure, and Purpose. And it is work that is created and taught by Christina Baldwin and Anne Linnea. And I learned about this through a colleague of mine, Anne Fitzgerald. And I'm actually participating in a wonderful peer spirit circle right now, and have been for the last probably 18 months. So if we bump up too close against the hour for me to give you all the details, you can find more information at peerspirit.com. And the notion here is this idea of the power of sitting in circle, of people coming together and supporting each other, witnessing each other, being sort of an energetic container for us to be together in extreme vulnerability and in a willingness to share from a really deep place, because we feel so safe, because all of us are committed to witnessing each other's experience and perspective. So it's a really powerful, powerful thing. I'm talking about it in kind of metaphorical terms, but the nuts and bolts of it are real. If you want to start a peer spirit circle, is to, you know, set an intention, invite some people to come together, talk about what it would mean for you all to come together and what's possible through the circle. Some of the components of it are, you know, having a talking stick. And so this is really a way to remind members of the group that we need to have sort of a focused attention on whoever's holding the talking stick and sharing. So really listening with intention. If you're holding the talking stick, then speaking with intention, like really being thoughtful and deliberate about sort of what you're bringing to the circle in the moment. And a lot of times what I've experienced is that I think I'm coming to circle to share about, you know, X, Y, and Z, but then because of what other people have been sharing and where sort of the energy of the group is, I find myself moving in an entirely different direction. And that's really actually the point. It's like to be so in the moment of the circle that you can really tap into where you are right then and there. It also is a group where shared leadership is really important. Anne talks about there being a leader in every chair. The notion of, I talked about sort of holding the energy and witnessing for people. And really, in a way that doesn't sort of support a lot of crosstalk, you know, where someone talks about something, you know, where they are right now, and then, you know, four other people in the group want to kind of solve the issue for them. It's not really about that. The three practices are, as I was saying, sort of listening with attention. And I'll tell you what that means from their booklet. It means focusing clearly on what is being said by someone else. In the circle, listening often becomes a spiritual practice. We receive each other's stories and insights. There is a sense of satisfaction to listening and being heard. The next practice is speaking with intention. And that means contributing. I love this. What has relevance, heart, and meaning to the topic and situation of the moment. Of the moment. Intentional speaking requires patience until we understand what to contribute and how to speak our truth without blame or judgment. And that unfolds in our group where people, you know, they're ready to talk and they've got the talking stick, and there is a pacing and an intentionality about the words that come out of someone's mouth that really is a spiritual experience. Not only for the speaker, but for all of us who are there, you know, witnessing. And then the final practice is contributing to the well-being of the group. And that means considering the impact of our words and actions before, during, and after we interact. Before speaking, it is wise to ask ourselves, how will my contribution benefit what we are all doing here together? And so, you know, we usually have an agenda, and it's around sort of, what are we trying to be up to in the world, and how do we slice that in different ways and kind of bring our experiences to it in a way that kind of helps who we are and where we are in our own process, and then also sort of how that might be supportive of where other people are in their process. And I can tell you, I have rarely felt so held by a group of people. And I have been involved in lots and lots and lots of amazingly powerful experiences. But this circling, being with peers, being with spirit, is incredibly powerful. So I really would encourage everyone to take a closer look at that if you're really trying to find your tribe. In this particular group, some people were people I knew, others were new to me, and yet here we all are really being able to connect, you know, 18 months later. One of the visions I've had really, I feel very strongly was supported by this group and helped me manifest it, and that is actually my vision for Charlie's Place, a healing sanctuary for animals and their people, which I have been working on manifesting and is now happening. I have my little farm in central Massachusetts. I'm working on my second animal being brought to the sanctuary and getting all the paperwork in process, something which I really feel wouldn't have happen so quickly if not for this group. So peerspirit.com is the website where you can find more information. Okay, so I thank everybody for listening. If you have any questions or comments, please be in touch with me, Carolyn@blisshealingarts.com. Join me on January 8th at 7 p.m. Eastern Time for our next show. Remember, tonight's show will air Monday and Tuesday at 2 p.m. and 2 a.m. at dreamvision7radio.com. Until next time, I wish you moments of grace descending.
Thank you for tuning into Living on Purpose with Carolyn Romano, part of the Dream Vision 7 radio network. Please join us every second Sunday at 7 p.m. when we unpack and examine the mysteries, meaning, and sometimes madness of life. Living on Purpose is about being deliberately aligned with the ways we're meant to serve and grow, while staying open to experiencing life fully. It's about recognizing and becoming the fullest expressions of who we are. It's about envisioning the lives we're meant to be living, and then joyfully living from that end. Yes, Boston and beyond. Until next time, get your bliss on. For more info...